As you notice, you might have noticed in the bulletin, today is the third day of Christmas. Christmas season actually begins on December 25th, and so we have our 12 days. So if it's the third day of Christmas, your true love should give you
three French hens.
So I'm not sure. If your true love gives you three French hens and you don't know what to do with them, take them to Dean's. I'm sure she has room to have French hens running around her place as well. So that'll be a fun thing to do. It's always good to know what to do with the gifts that you can't use. And so, all right. Well, this is really exciting because sometimes we say Christmas has come and gone. You know, it's that one day, 24-hour period that I was mentioning in my prayer. And so it's just really great to know that for us, it is not a 24-hour period. It's not come and gone, but it is a reality that impacts our lives all year long. So the title of this morning's message is The Light That Leads Us Home. And in the notes at the back, on the back of the bulletin, I'm just saying, this Advent and Christmas season, Jesus comes as the light. He's the one who dispels the shadows on our path, making it possible for us to see clearly enough to move with confidence into his plan, which, by the way, blows away any and all opposition, obstacles, past failures and detours, excuses and fears, doubts and worries. It's the hope in his sovereignty, the peace in his all-sufficiency, the joy in his presence, and the love in his eyes that quiets our hearts, focuses our minds, and leads us back home. And those are some powerful words, I think, for us as we round out this year of 2015. Scripture verse for this morning out of John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Such amazing, amazing promises that Jesus gives us here in the Gospels, especially here at this Christmas season, as we look at the importance of light for us. And so going into the message, number one, the first point, the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The light of the world has come to us. Has come to us. The amazing thing that is the reality of Christmas is that the light of the world has come to us, to you, to me. In our devotional, if you've been following along, it's Christmas and Christ has come. Jesus is the light that gives light to everyone. He walked where men faced the shadow of death, saw the light of life, and was satisfied, and burst from the grave as the light of the world forever. Christmas is the celebration of Christ's birth, God's light sent to us to pierce the dark places of the human heart. Jesus is the light of the world, and he is here with us right now by his Spirit, unseen but real and present nevertheless. He is shining the warmth of his light onto our hearts this Christmas season. And so that reality that Jesus is really here and really present and really the light of the world, that's the thing that was so difficult when Jesus came into the dark times when he came. The hard thing was to accept the fact that God would do something as non-godlike, embarrassingly non-godlike, by intervening in the affairs of men in the way he chose to do it, through the birth of a humble baby born in the most embarrassingly humble circumstances. It's so much a difficult thing for the Jews to accept that the Greek word is scandalon, the scandal of God acting in a way that was so unacceptable, that God shouldn't do those kind of things. It's unworthy of him to stoop to such heights and to do things so embarrassingly common. You don't expect a God or a major leader to do something like that. And so it was really hard for them to accept that he was really God. And as we look at the disciples as they make their way through the several years walking with Jesus, and every once in a while they get this little glimpse that he really was God. They would see his divinity, and then they would see his power over nature, and they would realize that he's not just another teacher. He's not just somebody with book learning or whatever, but he was more than that, and it kind of shocked them. And they're like, can he really be? And yet every time they would just think of him just as one of them and teaching them, they were always troubled in the back of their minds because they saw these other things. And especially for Peter and John, who were up on the mountain with him, they were amazed. They saw his transfiguration, and that just, what do you do with that? What box do you fit that piece in? Where does that go? What do I do with this? So it's an undeniable evidence of his divinity. And so for us today, it's the same. To accept that this Son of God has really come, is really with us. This Emmanuel, God with us. According to the prophecy out of Isaiah chapter 7. He shall call his name Emmanuel. And in Matthew's gospel, in chapter 1, verse 23, he says, when he says Emmanuel, he fills it out. It says, which means God with us. And so here he is today with us again, still, filling out this year with many stories, as we've already mentioned. Probably have many, many stories of God's faithfulness and his presence in our lives throughout this year. We need to find an accurate and simple way to share some of our stories, I think, because they're always really encouraging. They're always amazing to hear these kind of stories. And I was just thinking the other day, maybe we can even use the weekly email that goes out and write some of your stories, and Sue can include it in the email that goes out. That'd be a great way to catch up with what God is doing. So the reality that is ours in this Christmas season, that gives us hope and peace and joy and fills us with his love, is that the light of the world, Jesus himself, has really come to us and is really here in this place. As we sing and as we pray and as we read the word and as we spend time focusing our attention, because as I mentioned here, these realities are the things that quiet our hearts, focus our minds, and lead us back home. And I was just thinking this week as I was preparing this, how many times do we need to have our minds refocused on the reality of the light of the world who is with us? Because most of the events that take place on our regular weekday in the world, in the stores, at work, at school, wherever, at home, wherever we happen to be, not many of those experiences focus our minds back on that reality. They focus on getting the job done, getting to the destination, you know, doing all of those tasks that are ahead of us, and they don't really focus our hearts back on this reality, this higher reality. But the reality of the light of the world being with us helps to quiet our hearts first and then focus our minds, and then it leads us back home. Second thing, the light of the world is here to shine. The light of the world is here to shine. Back in the devotional again, maybe this Christmas you're feeling particularly good about your personal life, your family, your financial situation, and your extended network of relationships. Or the opposite may be true. You may carry a great burden inside you about how you're treating certain family members or how they're treating you, be they a parent, sibling, spouse, or child. You may be struggling with your job situation and financial stress is looming over you like a foreboding cloud. You may be in a strained relationship with others or in a strained relationship with yourself. It's here in these times of both success or struggle where the true story of Christmas really shines through. If all is going well, you're probably aware that such a state of affairs will not remain forever. Most of us don't live charmed lives where the three F's, family, friends, and finances, are always in our control. This is why we must enjoy every moment given to us. Our hearts need more than sufficient material goods and a comfortable home to blossom in spiritual and emotional health. On the other hand, if this Christmas Day you're in a struggle, the desperation you feel has a purpose in God's plan. Pain and suffering point us to our need for God. When we're at our lowest, that's when God knows our hearts are at their softest to His love. We are ripe for God's strength to meet us when we feel our most weak. And so the light of the world is here to shine. He has not just come to us, but He's here with a purpose to shine, to remind us. And the bright lights that we were talking about earlier get our attention. And I was thinking of another illustration when bright lights shine on you. If you're on the stage, if you're an actor on stage and there are brilliant spotlights that are on you, the reason actors wear makeup is if they don't wear makeup, guess what you see when you look at somebody who's in the glare of the floodlights? Nothing. It's their faces are blank. You see no expression because the lights are too brilliant. And that's why they have to have makeup to help you see the face, see the expressions. And so when Jesus comes, this light of the world comes and comes here to us to shine. And I really like this in the devotional where it says the darker the times, you know, are the times that God uses those to soften our hearts and help us to say, you know what? I know you can't do this on your own. I know this is too hard, but I'm here to help. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so when we're at our lowest point, that's when God comes through. And He speaks to us, and He gives us direction, and He gives us comfort. And I think the greater the darkness, the greater our desperation for light. I mentioned before how, you know, our first apartment when we lived in France, we were in town, and you know, there were street lights and whatever. So even when you turned the lights out, even if the curtains were closed, there was always some light that came in, so that it was never pitch black. And then we moved out to the castle that the school that we worked at purchased. It was out in a small town, but the castle was surrounded by its own grounds. And there were no lights. And so, boy, when you turned the lights out at night, the only light was the moon and the stars. And if those were not visible, it was really, really dark out there. And it took some getting used to that when you turned the lights out, there was really no ambient light seemingly shining in at all. And so that was really a tough thing to get used to, that level of darkness. But I think the deeper the darkness, the more difficult our times, those are the times that we just realize, wow, at some point Jesus comes through and reminds us, I am with you to the very end of the age. I am still here. I am with you as you go through this. And it is also good to remind ourselves that this too has come to pass, that this is not a permanent place that we're stuck in, but that God is directing us through. If it feels like a never-ending tunnel, we just need to understand that there is an end to the tunnel, and God is leading us through and will lead us home. Great news for us this morning that Jesus has come. He's here to shine, to focus attention back on Him, to say, I am the light of the world. If you need help, guess what? The help is in me. It's not in all the promises. It's not in all the advertising we've been subjected to for the last couple of months. Just buy this and you'll know perfect happiness and all of those kind of things. We know that's not true. But Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls. And the third point, the light of the world is here for us, for you. The light of the world is here for us. Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God with us in the room, but He's with us. He's for us. He's here. Back in the devotional, this is the true story of Christmas. Not that we ascend to God, but that God descends to meet us in our desperate need. He is the life light that confronts and confounds our darkness, yours and mine. If you're a Christian, worship this Christmas until your worry is absorbed into the presence of God. And just a note here again, when I really like this, worship this Christmas until your worry is absorbed into the presence of God. And worship doesn't necessarily mean singing hymns. Worship doesn't necessarily include music. It often does, but it not always. I've got a friend who worships in nature and takes pictures of beautiful sunrises and sunsets that are awe-inspiring. Some people like nature walks. Some people have different things that focus their hearts, calms them down, and helps them to see God. And if yours is doing something different, then you know what we need to do is understand what is effective worship for us. And if listening to 2 hours of Handel's Messiah is not your idea of a great time, then don't do that. Find something else that really helps to focus your heart and brings you back to that place where we recognize that God is in charge and that we are absorbed into the presence of God. And yes, it can be on the back of a Harley. If you are not yet a Christian, a follower of Jesus, then know this to be true. Millions have experienced a love that satisfies the love-hungry heart from the inside out, and you can too. There's no jolly old man, no converted Scrooge, no red-nosed reindeer, no redeemed George Bailey that can change our hearts. But Jesus can and will if we surrender our lives and give Jesus full control. This Christmas, it's time to give God the greatest gift you can give, yourself. Today, everything can change. Give yourself, maybe for the first time, to the God who is stepping right into the middle of your story, into the middle of our clouded, confused world, saying, "Whoever follows me will have the light of life." The light of the world is here for us. You know, the amazing thing is Jesus knows us from head to toe, from stem to stern. Knows our past. Knows what we're capable of. Knows the plan he has for us. And he keeps choosing us. With a parental love that will not and cannot give up. Keeps loving us. Keeps choosing us. Keeps being proud of us. Keeps being patient with us as we mess up things, as we take our detours and create obstacles and all the things, with our excuses and fears and doubts and worries, our past failures, our detours. And his love comes, his light comes, and he just blows all that away. It's like he just shines the spotlight of his love on all those things, and they're just kind of obliterated in the brilliance of his shining. And then he loves us. He said, "Wow, I came, I chose you." And he reminded the disciples, you know, it's like, you didn't choose me. I chose you. Don't forget that. I came looking for you. I chose you because I choose to love you and invest my love in you forever. And so that choosing means that it is not a choosing because of what we do or haven't done. It's choosing because of who Christ has made us to be. So we can't mess that up because he's chosen us because of his choice. And that's not something we can intervene in. That's because he's chosen us. And sometimes we wonder why and how he can manage to hold on there. But he's here for us, and he is for us. He is so for us. If we're ever needing an attaboy, he's always there for that. Or maybe add a girl. However we say that in politically correct terms, I don't know. Add a person, something. But he's here for us. The light of the world has come to us. He's here to shine. But he's here for us. He wants us. He wants our lives to count for him. He wants his sacrifice to pay off in these lives that have been redeemed. He wants us to recognize the glory that is ours in him as we stand before him, the redeemed. So the amazing thing about Christmas is the greatest gift was here before, We didn't need to unwrap it. And once all the wrapping has been taken care of, he comes and shows us again how amazing it is to walk with him. And he continually leads us home. And there was a famous line out of some movie, you know, there is no place like home. And God leads us there. It's always great to go away, isn't it? But, you know, I'm sure everyone has said, you know, it's really nice to get away. It's really nice to be on vacation. But it's also really nice to come home again and unpack the suitcase and not have to figure out how you're going to maneuver through all the different things. So that's what he does. He gives us a place and he calls us home. As we come to the table this morning and we celebrate the presence of the light of the world at this Christmas season, we haven't given so much and we are probably only a teensy bit aware of all that we've been given in Jesus. But we celebrate the greatest gift of all time. And we're a part of the greatest story ever told. And so as he invites us back again to remember how we got here through his sacrifice, his broken body on the cross, his shed blood for us to redeem us once and for all because of his faithfulness to the Father. And it's because of his faithfulness the Father has lifted him up and raised him up to that highest place, seated him at the right hand of the Father, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a privilege that you and I know this one who is the light of the world. It's a privilege beyond understanding. And yet we're invited again to come and remember him until he returns. So let's pray together as we prepare to share in the joy of knowing the light of the world. Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would continue to work the reality of your presence into our hearts. We recognize that we are part of a society that doesn't believe anything they can't see or prove. And so we ask for grace to receive from you that awareness, that assurance that you're here, that you've come, and that you're here for us. Father, as we share in these elements as you've asked us to do, remembering your death until you come. What glory in this victory. What hope for the future we have because of you. And what joy in sharing in a family of called out ones, people that you've called out of death and out of darkness to know eternal life in you. And so we celebrate that light that's in our hearts. We give you praise this morning, Father, for your sacrifice and for this life, for this amazing gift that is ours. And we bless you, Father, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And since we've been talking about this light of the world that is the most amazing gift we've ever had and will ever have, it'd be a shame to leave this place this morning if we have things we'd like to have prayer for. That we'd like, you know, we just need assurance maybe that that really is our reality, or we just have situations we haven't quite been able to worship our way through yet, and we just like a little bit of help with that. Let's just take some time to gather up here as everybody else goes back there and gets noisy. We can get up here and we can be noisy with the Lord. So let's do that this morning. We'll hang around. Let's pray together as we need to, as we do. And if you are on your way out the door, just know that the light of the world is with you where you go. And he is the greatest gift of this season. Share him liberally. The more you share, the more you experience of his amazing power and love. Amen.